I'm happy to be talking today with Michael Rupert. You're all familiar with his earlier section of this course where he spoke about the map to 9/11. And it's now 2 years and 4 days since those enormous events in New York. And it's important that we keep track of the changes, the developments, the directions which were outlined in that earlier talk and see where we are today. I want to tell you in advance that in addition to the website fromthewilderness.com, which Michael publishes and updates daily, where all of these information streams are tracked and expanded. And he also has a big book coming out early next year called Crossing the Rubicon, America's Descent into Fascism at the End of the Age of Oil. So we're going to cover the ground since 9/11 and take a look as far into the future as we dare to go. Let's just pick up with 2 years ago and the sequence of changes that you've been watching since 9/11 and how that's affected everyone's life on every level.
Well, you know, it's amazing to observe the rapidity with which world events are unfolding, with which a once invulnerable, beloved America is becoming perceived to be a world tyrant as a result of plans which were, I really believe, conceived in some form of desperation over the last 5-10 years by the people we call the neocons who have come to control the American agenda. We have seen what we thought was the immediate pacification of Afghanistan turning into a prolonged guerrilla conflict with increasing but very much underreported numbers of U.S. casualties in Afghanistan. The installed president of that country, Hamid Karzai, doesn't really go outside a few square miles of Kabul because he's not safe outside of that region. The Afghani economy is still a shambles. The infrastructure is still a shambles. And then, of course, we have Iraq. We have the momentous run-up to Iraq, which has now been clearly shown to be based upon lies, fabricated intelligence, forged documents that President Bush cited, stating that Saddam Hussein was trying to purchase uranium from the country of Niger in Africa, falsified intelligence dossiers saying that Saddam could mobilize weapons of mass destruction, which we haven't seen yet, horrible misrepresentations out of Britain, plagiarism in the construction of their intelligence dossier, the lies exaggeration which led to the recent quote-unquote suicide of David Kelly, which reminds me a great deal of Vince Foster, actually. And we see Iraq becoming an absolute quagmire, very, very much like Vietnam, where we went in, won what was called a quick victory, and are now paying, exactly as I reported in From the Wilderness, a horrible price in terms of resistance. I think that in Iraq in particular, but probably throughout the region, we have stirred an archetypal response of Middle Eastern peoples reacting as though the infidels had come on another crusade, this time not to save the world for a particular religion, but to control oil reserves. So the world situation is deteriorating extremely rapidly. It's not getting any better. There are no quick solutions for any of it. I remember back in 1988, presidential campaign, the Republicans trashed Michael Dukakis, in particular using a television ad with a convicted bank robber, Willie Horton, who had gotten paroled. And he said, "I rob banks because that's where the money is." In point of fact, exactly as we've been saying it from the wilderness now for 2 years, nonstop. We are in Iraq and Afghanistan and in West Africa now and following it around the world because that's where the oil is and that's where the natural gas is. And so that map is playing out.
You use the term neocon. I just like for clarity to get the derivation of that. Where did that come from and what does it really mean?
The term neocon is a slang for neoconservative, which by and large represents a neoconservative train of thought, which I would really consider to be much more fascist than anything else, which emerged during the mid to late 1990s. I guess it's best characterized by reports that came out of the Project for a New American Century, and we find all the major players of the Bush administration, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz. It's all the same guys. And they wrote reports. There is one called Rebuilding America's Defenses, which was written in 2000 but drafted in 1999. That very clearly says we have to go invade Iraq. They had maps of the Iraqi oil fields in there. This was long before 9/11. That was a complete outline in almost in blueprint fashion for everything that we saw unfolding after 9/11. And that report specifically mentioned, I believe it's on page 51, 52, somewhere around there, that what was going to be necessary to trigger all of this was an attack on the U.S. on the order of Pearl Harbor. So these guys are basically ruthless, and they have created a little schism. I mean, there is within the power elite governing America, as I have said in all of my writings, that the White House is not literally where the buck stops. Whoever occupies the White House is nothing more than a hired chief executive officer that can be replaced by a board of directors at any time, and that board of directors is Wall Street, and I would say including the CIA. But the neocons have literally distanced themselves and created a gulf between even former conservatives or other kinds of conservatives and the so-called neoliberals, best represented by Bill Clinton, let's say, who choose to make their conquests around the world using the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and military force as a third level backup to that. So the neocons are the guys in the White House now. They're on thin ice, and I have said very clearly in stories that I have written, calling it Watergate 2, that the Bush administration will be replaced, but that is not grounds for complete and total celebration. Richard Nixon was replaced when he had gone politically too far out for the pleasure of his financial backers and for Wall Street. And although he was popular and literally bought the 1972 presidential election, was deemed to be unbeatable, he won that election but was taken out of course during the Watergate investigation and resigned just short of impeachment. And we may well see that happen with the Bush administration in 2004 and 2005.